8:30 a.m. KSDP. This is Meet the People for December the 8th, 2009. I'm Kels Hetherington. My guest this morning joining us on the phone from Washington State at her house is Shauna Anderson. Shauna was a resident of Sandpoint for 8+ years. She moved away from Sandpoint earlier this year. I have invited Shauna on the program to talk firsthand about the rumors swirling around Sandpoint concerning her recent arrest. Shauna, welcome to the program, and are these rumors true?
Well, some of them are, yes, but some of them are, you know, exaggerated. Yes, I was arrested. No, my children were not taken away from me. They were with my father. It happened on November 6th, or let's see, November 7th, I believe. It was a Friday. I have some neighbors up here, and they're like 20 years old. I've made friends with them. I don't really know a lot of people out here. I'm pretty much in farm country. So anyway, I made friends with my neighbors, and I got close to her and realized that she was a victim of domestic violence. Her boyfriend had been not only physically abusing her but mentally abusing her. And on that evening, I was at home and with the children. I was having a cocktail, and I had recently learned that my grandmother passed away that day. So I was upset, and I went up to see the neighbors, and he was, you know, belittling her when I was up there in front of me, and I didn't like it. And to make a long story short, you know, I started getting into a verbal argument with him, the way he treats her, and et cetera, and I left, and I realized I had forgotten my glasses in their apartment. And I was knocking on the door and asking, you know, to let me in, blah, blah, blah. And I could hear him, you know, cussing at her behind the door. And I said, you know, Bianca, are you okay in there? And she answered with a very shaky voice. Now, had I been, you know, thinking clearly, I would have just dialed 911. But instead, being who I am, not having the right judgment, I kicked open the door. You know, my intention was not to go in there and hurt anyone. I wanted to grab her, bring her to safety. Luckily, her newborn wasn't there because the baby spends the weekends with his grandparents. And so I wanted to get her out of there. He has hit her before with the infant in his arms. And I just, you know, being a victim of domestic violence myself, I have zero tolerance for it. And she's a beautiful, smart young woman whose self-esteem has just been beaten down. I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. She's one of my friends on my MySpace. She's just very pretty. And her boyfriend came after me, and he picked up a jar of change, threw it in my face. It was awful. And then he proceeded to hit me. So I walked away, and my other neighbor, she's 18 years old. She lives upstairs. I babysit her son for her, and she's a Head Start teacher. And, you know, we're close, and they basically call me Big Mama. I'm kind of like their mama out here, you know, because their parents live where else and stuff. And she was frightened and called the cops, you know, to bring the officers here. And when the officers showed up, they were very hostile. Officer Todd Hill was the one on the scene. He would not listen to me when I was trying to explain to him what was going on. I walked into my apartment. He was already here. I had gone for a little walk to cool off and go, oh, my God, what's happening? This is not, you know, what I intended. And I walked in. He immediately handcuffed me. You know, he's very rough. My children were all here. Lacey, you know, was spending the night with me and her toddler, and she was looking after the children because I was having cocktails and stuff. And I needed to use the restroom, and the officer wouldn't let me. And I said, really, you know, you're arresting me. I'll go with you. Please let me use the bathroom. And I was backing up, and he tasered me in front of my children. My son was horrified. Rivers, you know, I was, you know, crying. You know, I mean, I mean, it's just crazy. You can't imagine what it's like to have volts going through your body, literally shaking you. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, all I wanted to do was use the bathroom. I wasn't, you know, resisting arrest or anything like that. And, you know, I begged him to please stop.
But he charged you with resisting arrest, right? What were you exactly charged
No. I wasn't resisting arrest. I just needed to use the restroom. And the thing is the jail is actually 44 miles away. And, you know, I'm in a little town. It's in Okanagan County. And Okanagan County is huge. I mean, it is the largest county in Washington State. I mean, it goes all the way over to Lake Chelan, Moses Lake, different directions. And they will actually send people from over, they call it the coast, you know. When we're in Alaska, mm-hmm. we consider everything else the lower 48. Well, over here in eastern Washington, they consider everything over Snoqualmie Pass the coast. So they'll actually send people from like Linwood area, Snohomish County, and the jail actually receives $200 per day for every inmate that they send over. So I needed to use a restroom before we went on this journey 44 miles. I didn't resist arrest. I never heard him in any way. I assumed I was going to jail for kicking open my neighbor's door. While we were riding along the way, the officer was speeding. I wasn't seat belted in. I was handcuffed. And I asked him to please slow down. You know, I mean, it's dark. He's doing over 70 miles an hour. I'm getting really nervous. I'm like, you know, officer, could you please slow down? You're scaring me. Oh, we're fine. 15 seconds later, he hits a deer. It smashes the windshield. We wreck. We go flying off the road. My face was slammed up against, you know, the glass. Mm-hmm. You've probably never been in a cop car, Kel. My face was slammed up against the glass. I have a bad back as it is. That was pulled, and what ended up happening is I pulled the muscle in my neck all the way through my collarbone and down to my shoulder, and I actually asked the officer, are you okay? He had to get out and shoot the deer, so then I was taken to the hospital, and I had an MRI done to make sure that I didn't break my neck, but what I did is I sprained the neck muscles and stuff, I was booked into jail.
Yeah, what was it like going to the hospital after being arrested? Did they keep you separate from the rest of the patients who were waiting to be seen?
Well, and the thing is that when you get tased, they stick in you. There's these little metal things that are in there.
Huh.
And if anyone really thinks that they can outrun a taser, think again. I mean, they jolt like to 140 feet. I mean, fast, within seconds. And I was, now just imagine this, instead of running away from this guy, I was standing 3 feet in front of him when he jolted me. And unfortunately, he shot them into my breast, so that was quite painful. And they have to remove them. There's these metal prongs that are in there. And there was no report of the wreck in the paper. And what I found out after I got to jail is that the officer, his reasoning for tasering me is he lied and said that I kicked him. And I'm in jail thinking, oh, I'll be out tomorrow. This is, you know, I know that Bianca won't press charges. We're friends, blah, blah, blah. I'm in jail thinking, okay, this sucks. I want to get out. But the officer lied. And when you assault an officer, it automatically becomes a felony.
So what exactly were you charged with?
Basically, what I was being charged with was residential burglary, which is crazy, malicious mischief, excuse me, and assault on an officer in the third degree. And when these charges are brought up on me, I was just, what? I was blown away. I was like, this is crazy. You know, so I'm in jail on a $15,000 bail. I'm like, oh boy, you know, that's just, wow. Mm-hmm. I can't even fathom this. And not to mention, I was arrested at 7 o'clock that night. I didn't get booked until 4 o'clock in the morning. So my jail time didn't actually start until Saturday at 4 a.m. You know, being in the hospital, and then they leave you in a holding tank, and they have to fingerprint you and do all this stuff. And so it was, you know, it was quite a bit of time actually. And, it was really quite scary. You know, you think you're going in for one thing that, okay, I'll do some time, not a lot, you know, and then all of a sudden the felony came out of nowhere.
So what happened when you were in jail? Then you began to prepare for a trial?
Yes, I got a public defender. And I guess the reason why we're talking about this today is how scary it is, you know, to be out here. Away from friends and family and the comfort of Sam Point. I miss home. That's been my home for almost 10 years. I was just shy of 10 years by 2 months when I left. And the thing that people don't realize is how wonderful the police really are in Sam Point, because out here, it's no joke. It's no joke at all. Mm. There are crooked cops in the world. I respect police officers, you know, immensely, and I have never encountered such abuse. I mean, it was complete brutality. It's really scary, you know. So I'm talking, I get a public defender, and he tells me what I'm being charged with, and I'm like, whoa, I've got a witness. My girlfriend, you know, she's a young woman, she's 18, she was here, she doesn't drink alcohol, she's completely sober. She's hanging out with me. She saw everything. And as I was being arrested and taken out the door, she was like, Shauna, I'm there for you. If you need a witness, I saw what happened here tonight. Well, after I was being booked, the officer, Mr. Todd Hill, came back and threatened this young woman that if she testified against him, he would arrest her. I had no way of knowing this because I'm in jail. I can't contact anyone. And not only did he come back once, but he came back again with his partner because, you know, my attorney was like, well, we have a witness, you know, when he was talking to prosecutors. So after Mr. Todd Hill heard about this, he came back again with another officer saying, you know what, you may be Miss Anderson's witness, but I've got mine right here. You know, like I said, you want to challenge me, you'll go to jail.
What did the public?
This is an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, what did the public?
Single mom. She's scared to death.
What did the public defender advise you to do facing these charges?
He wanted to go to trial. At first, he wanted to go to trial, but then when he spoke to my neighbor, my witness, he told me, he goes, you know, Shauna, I've got to tell you, it's basically come down to your word against an officer's. And he said when he spoke with my witness, I don't want to, you know, give her name. I don't want anybody to look her up on the internet or anything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he told me that she sounded like, well, I never saw Shauna kick him. And he said basically she sounded frightened. He's like, you know, at this point, I've been away from my children for almost a month. You know, I've never been away from them more than 5 days tops. You know, I had a vacation with an ex-boyfriend in Anchorage. That's it. And, you know, so I'm thinking I need to get back to my babies, even though they're with their grandfather. He's a mountain man, you know, mm-hmm. And, you know, he's older and stuff. And he's, you know, he's fine with rivers, but he's not used to many, you know. So I'm thinking, what do I do here? I actually talked to officers in this jail. Now, mind you, these are officers in the Okanagan County Jail. They asked me what the name of the officer was, you know, because, you know, I chit-chat with the guards and stuff, and I told them, you know, it's Officer Todd Hill. Three different officers were like, Shauna, take the plea. He's a jerk. He's a bad cop. It's your word against his. Just take the plea. So what I ended up doing is I took what they call the Alford plea. And the Alford plea is when you accept a deal from the prosecutors and the DA, but you're not admitting you're guilty. Basically, what the Alford plea is saying, I know I'm not going to get a fair shake at trial. I'm going to go ahead and take this deal, but I didn't do it.
Mm.
And I made that known when I went to court. You know, I was crying, and I said, you know, I'm an honest person. I've gone to jail. If I beat someone up, I admit it. You know, I've never resisted arrest and standpoint. You know, I'm honest. And it breaks my heart that I just got convicted of something I didn't do. If I kicked the officer, I'd be saying, I kicked the officer. But I didn't.
I completely
made this up.
Shauna, why didn't you decide just to roll the dice and see what happened at trial?
If I would have rolled the dice and went to trial, I could have been convicted. I believe it was 5 to 10 years I could be convicted for that. The good time that I was looking at, a year in prison. Now, I'm a tough girl, but I'm not ready for prison. My options. I could go to trial. I mean, realistically, let's look at this, Kels. Mm. My record shows that I'm a drinker. I've been in assaults in Alaska. You know, in Alaska, we do it a little bit differently. Us girls, we'll get together. You know, you run your mouth. You pop somebody. You figure it's done. You don't make a big ordeal about it. I don't know. That's kind of Wild West ways, but, you know, a lot of girlfriends and I, we got drunk, and then we beat each other up, and then, you know, the next day, I'm sorry. But I've got a couple of assaults. I was actually accused in Sandpoint of assaulting a young woman that I never touched. I was barred for a year, got a year probation, and paid a $100 fine. I never touched that girl. There was never a mark on her face. But because she has an, you know, influential family in the community, I just wanted it to go away. So I played no contest. I didn't realize I was going to get that on my record. So they're looking at a couple of assaults in Alaska that I have. I don't have a major record. I have a couple of assaults, you know, alcohol-related. And they were trying to paint me up as this really bad criminal. And, I mean, let's face it, who are you going to believe? You're on a jury. Mm. You're going to believe some woman that's already had some fights in Alaska that, you know, pretty much drinks too much and gets rowdy when she drinks. And or are you going to believe an officer? This is someone that we appointed that's to protect and serve. He should be honest. So that's what I was up against. So I pled out. Now I'm a convicted felon of assault in the second. The residential burglary, my attorney was like, this is ridiculous. I didn't steal anything. I wasn't going in with the intent to hurt. It was dropped down to criminal trespassing, and I paid, you know, for the door. It was a 2-inch thick wooden door, not one of those fake ones. And that was the other thing, too. I kicked that door open. Had I kicked that officer, he would have dropped. There's no way he would have been able to stand and taser me. It's just ridiculous. Mm. So that's it. I took the plea. No, my children aren't in social services. No, I didn't go to prison. Although jail was quite an experience.
What was jail like?
People in Sandpoint should really be grateful if they're going to end up getting in trouble and go to jail. Sandpoint Jail, they should be kissing the jail cell floor, really.
Hmm.
They have no idea what a real jail is like.
What's the routine like in the jail that you were at in Washington State?
Okay, well, 5 o'clock in the morning, we get up. The lights come on. I mean, the lights never totally go off. I was in a cell that can hold up to 10 women. And you picture probably a small apartment, you know, just an open space. There's a shower. And it's kind of nice because you do have a little bit of a wall, and we were actually able to hang up a sheet so it can block you while you're using the restroom. But still, it's open. You're getting recycled air. The bunks are metal bunks. They go up to about 5 feet off the ground, maybe a little higher, you know, double bunks. They're metal. You get a mattress that's about an inch thick. You get 2 sheets. They're flat sheets, and you have to tie them around your, you know, you tie them at each end. You know, you take the ends and tie them. You make a knot so you can have one sheet that stays on. You do not get a pillow, and you get one blanket that's very thin. The mattresses are just, they're shot to heck, really. The stuffing has been beaten out of them. They're the plastic mats, but they're very old. So you wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, they turn the bright lights on, which is awful if you have a top bunk because it's like having, you know, a spotlight in your face. You get up, you eat breakfast. The breakfast isn't so bad because we're over here in Eastern Washington. A lot of the produce is donated. I mean, there's tons of apples. I pretty much don't want to eat a cooked apple ever again for the rest of my life, or hash browns. There's like these, you know, the hash browns that you can go to McDonald's and get. Well, it's kind of something like that, but they're not cooked real great, and they're awful.
Mm-hmm.
Some days, a couple days a week, you get oatmeal. And the trays are, like, square, and they have 6 little slots in them. You get one serving. You're served decaffeinated coffee and powdered milk mixed with a little bit of real milk. So it's kind of funky. Other than that, it's a basic breakfast. You definitely don't starve. Your lunch, there's a lot of starch. That's what I was going to say. Mm. I mean, with every meal, you're getting tater tots, French fries, JoJo, something. I mean, they're really big on the starch in there. And they got some kind of mystery meat, which I later found out is actually the roadkill, the deers that they hit.
Huh. Perhaps the one you
so
got.
So that's kind of cool because, you know, there's tons of deers that are killed out here, you know, for people that are speeding, and for people that do the speed limit and they're driving normally, deers will just pop out. I mean, it's crazy. It's really freaky, especially since I'm used to driving 35 miles an hour in a circle.
Well, let me just jump in here.
I grew up in Seattle. I haven't been on freeways in a long time.
If you're just joining us,
I've been in Sandpoint.
All right, if you're just joining us here at 8:30 a.m., this is Meet the People. I'm Cal Southerington. My guest here is Shauna Anderson, joining us on the phone from Washington State. What was jail like on Thanksgiving Day? Because you were in jail for more than 30 days, right?
Yeah, I was in jail for 31 days. I was just released yesterday morning, as a matter of fact. Thanksgiving, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And that's because there's a very wonderful man named Bob Baggett. He's Chaplain Bob. And this man has been for the last, he's 80 years old. He goes to the jail 7 days a week. He provides Bibles. He'll bring you white socks, sweats. He does everything. This man goes through the community, raises donations for the inmates. He is the most wonderful man I've ever met in my life. Truly selfless. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer, a drunk, a druggie. He loves you all the same. He goes to Walmart, the grocery stores. He gets pop that's out of date. So the inmates actually get soda pop at some of the meals. I mean, yeah, it's flat and it's diet, but it's wonderful. He makes sure at dinner time we have a donut on our plate, which is really unheard of in jail. And it's because this man is the most, you know, he is blessed by God. He really is. He's just phenomenal. So the food is actually better at this jail than other jails. It's way better than King County or anything else. And it's because of this chaplain, you know, Pastor Bob. And so for Thanksgiving, he raised money. He went to Walmart and the grocery stores, and I think he got like 6 turkeys donated. I think they were more of the smoked turkey loaves.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a couple thin slices of smoked turkey, like an ice cream scoop full of mashed potatoes. I don't know if they were fake or if they were real. Had some gravy, had a little stuffing. They made some red jello. We had 2 biscuits that were there with some butter, and we had soda pop. And then after we ate that, the guards actually came back around and gave us all a slice of pumpkin pie.
Hmm.
And the thing is when you're in jail, you're with your cellmates 24 hours a day.
And
you bond with people.
Yeah, how many people are in your cell?
So, we had up to 10 at one point, but it was mostly 8 all the time. And so the women, we actually said grace and what we were grateful for, you know, because a lot of us are mothers and we missed our children. And, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And I'm just really grateful for that meal, you know, because being away from my children, it was just awful. I just, you know, and, you know, people were weepy and stuff, but we made the best of it. You know, like I said, we said grace and what we're grateful for.
And how much freedom
this jail that I was in has 3 tanks with women in it, and the rest are, they're lettered. It's like A through M are all the tanks, and most of them are men.
Yeah. How much freedom do you have as a prisoner at the jail?
How much what?
How much freedom do you have? After you wake up, you go to breakfast.
Basically, we can go to... We're locked down in a room, and it doesn't have bars, but it's enclosed. And it has a door that has, like, you know, like a... Oh, you know those strips, like a rectangle strip of glass, you know, that you can look out. We are allowed to go to Bible study. Chaplain Bob comes on Mondays and Fridays. They have a Seventh-day Adventist that comes on Saturdays, and those are hour-long. They have NA meetings, so you can get out for an hour. Our room gets rec 3 times a week, and the rec room is a small room. It basically has a bunch of books, and I'm an avid reader, so it's great for me because I go through books really fast. And it has like a really worn down workout machine, but it has, you know, it's just to get out and exercise, get out of your funky room. I mean, you can imagine being in a room with 8 women. One of the women has a bowel problem, and it's not her fault. So she would fart. They would smell like death. And, you know, because she is my elder and stuff, and she can't help it. I mean, it's at the same time you're in a room and you're smelling this funk. There's another woman that didn't shower. She was overweight, and she would rip them. And it was like, you know, you can't help but giggle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're like, oh, my God. So when you get a chance to get out and go into another room, you take it, whether it's just going into another room or not.
No.
But no, we don't go outside. In the summer, in the spring, however, this jail has a work crew. And if you can get on being a trustee, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, or you get up at 3:30, actually. You get a breakfast, you're outside, and you work from 5 to 7 at night, and they'll take you around different parks by the lakes to clean up garbage and stuff, you know, doing community service.
Mm-hmm.
But people love to do that because they get out of the jail, then they come back to the cell, they're exhausted, they eat, and they go to bed.
Now, while in prison, you actually had a charge levied against you by a fellow inmate. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. This is really freaky. Now, I mean, it's obvious I haven't lived a perfect life. I have been around people that use drugs. I've used drugs. I've been a hard partier in my life, whatever. I've never experienced this. I am like in the crystal meth capital of the world. I am completely freaked out. I was in a cell with heroin addicts and with straight-up tweakers. So they call crackheads, you know, clucks or crackheads or whatever they are, gackers. Well, they call these people out here tweakers. They will basically sell their own mother's soul for a hit. I cannot tell you how awful this drug is. These women were talking about how they cook it. I learned that they take lithium batteries and they scrape the insides of the battery out to make this stuff. And I'm just sitting here in awe. You know, I figured I'm a pretty seasoned person. I've seen a lot in my life, and I'm just amazed. I was blown away. Then to find out these people shoot up crystal meth. There was one young woman in there. It broke my heart. They call it popping. And they're popping the stuff right into their muscles. So it turns into abscess, and then you can get a disease called Mercer, which is, you know, it's like a severe staph infection. That blew my mind. You know, I actually felt physically ill around these people, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm no better than them. You know, I got drunk, I kicked open a door, whatever. But at the same time, I was repulsed, you know? I mean, oh, man, and these women, they look so hard. You can automatically tell who's doing this stuff. All I can say is that crystal meth is the absolute worst drug in the world. I'm not kidding. I mean, the things that people do out here, it is crazy. They'll sleep with anybody. They snitch each other off. They rip each other off. They'll shoot for drugs. I mean, granted, Sandpoint, get some drugs, we party, boom, it's gone. You know, it's not some big ordeal that's going on and on. You know, you get a little stuff around town, it's gone. It's not lingering around all the time. This stuff is everywhere. It's being made in people's homes, and it's awful. I mean, wow.
Shauna, but there was assault charge levied against you while you were in prison.
I was in there with a woman that murdered someone.
All right, so what happened that resulted in you being confined to a cell by yourself?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I had a blonde moment there. Anyway, one of the women that I had a confrontation with, she came in high. I mean, completely flying. You know, so she's talking away. Now, for the girls that have been in there for a couple weeks, we like to sleep. You know, there's nothing else to do. You sleep, your time goes on. This woman was on my last nerve when she came in, and I'm thinking, okay, God, just, you know, get me through this. I'm going to kill this woman. Anyway, she went on to glorify using drugs. She talked about how, you know, being a druggie and how she wants to prepare her 13-year-old daughter, you know, to be promiscuous and how to perform fellatio perfectly so she's ready for her wedding night. I'm freaking out. I got three kids, and I can't even fathom, you know. I worked with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club, and I'm looking at this woman. She's a parent, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God. And, you know, talking about giving her booze and stuff, it was sick. And she kept going on and on and on, and she was just pushing my last button. I was having a conversation with one of the other inmates in there, and I actually had asked the officers three times, can you please move me? I'm going to hurt this woman. You know, it's one thing to be drunk and hit somebody. It's another thing to be totally, completely sober. And I told them, you know, they're like, Shauna, we have nowhere to put you. And I'm like, I don't care. Put me in a holding cell. You've got to get me out of here. I'm going to hurt this woman. And, you know, I would pray, and God, please let me get through this. Please, God, don't let me hurt this woman. You know, I'm no better than she is. Well, I couldn't take it anymore. The next, you know, it just, things had happened. She wouldn't leave me alone, and I asked her, please, please stop, please. And she kept on and on with her mouth, and it's like my head's pounding. I'm going to snap. And I said, if you don't stop, I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to snatch you off that bunk. And, you know, her mouth kept going, and it was a matter of seconds. I don't even know how I did this. I grabbed this woman off the top bunk, 5 feet off the ground. I had her by her shirt collar, and I brought her down onto the ground. I had my fist just cocked. I mean, I was ready to just pound her, and I don't know if it was divine intervention, but I snapped back. It was like a completely blacked out in that moment. I was just so angry. I mean, I don't know how I did this, but I did. And I let her go, and I walked away. Another girl was like, we need help. And I'm like, yes, you guys need to come and get me. I told the guards what I did. I said, no, I didn't punch her. I didn't pull her hair. I just snatched her off her bunk, which, you know, she could have cracked her head open. It's cement floor. And,
she fell to the ground.
That's what happened.
She fell from...
Well, she kept aggravating me. She was egging me on. I asked her, please stop. You know, one of the other girls was like, you know, Teresa, knock it off, you know, and she could see the look on my face. But I was really proud of myself with the temper that I have. I could have really hurt that woman. I mean, bad. And, you know, and this is sober, and it's just the fact that I didn't want to hear any more glorifying of the drugs. I didn't want to hear any more disgusting tales about what she's done with her daughter. I didn't want to hear any more, you know. I'm trying to just make it day by day, missing my kids, saying prayers, you know, just trying to make it, you know. And when you got somebody in there, so I admitted to what I did. She actually pressed charges against me, which, you know, the girls, it's kind of like a jail no-no. You get into a tiff, the one that, you know, assaults goes to the hole, you know, you let it go. No, she pressed charges. I would have been out last Thursday, but I went into court and I decided I didn't need an attorney. You know, the judge is like, you know, Miss Anderson, I'd like you to think about this. I said, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I put my hands on her. Could you please show mercy? I just want to go home to my children. I'm guilty of this. He's like, okay, well, we'll see you on Monday. So I was thrown in the hole Wednesday night, and I went back to court on Monday, and he asked, you know, if I had my attorney. I said, no, I got, you know, all the other stuff taken care of. And the prosecutor, you know, she was really, really nice. And the judge is like, well, I know that this woman is in here for drug charges. She's had a lot of problems. I can see how the situation would be. It's a tough situation. So I got a $200 fine and a year probation, fourth degree assault on my record. And this is actually kind of funny. As I was released, she was released right after me. And so I saw her when she left and told her, you know, take it easy, take care of you. There were no bitter words said. It's just jail. It's just the way it is. One minute you can be laughing with someone, the next minute you want to punch your lights out.
Mm.
But this was a woman that I struggled with, you know, for 2 weeks in there. That
Shauna, what about communicating with the outside world from jail?
There's a phone. I actually did try calling a couple of my girlfriends because, you know, I figured that when I spoke with one of my friends, you know, she'd be like, oh, my gosh, I went to jail. And, you know, the rumor mill has spread. I've said this before. You can pass gas, and 15 minutes later, the story will have changed to, oh, my gosh, she crapped her pants. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. So I tried to call collect, and if your phones are not set up to accept it, they can't. I got like something called a courtesy call. I called one of my girlfriends. I got to talk to her for a minute, and then it was like, click, you've been given your free call. And then at that point, my girlfriend had the opportunity to set it up, you know, to accept a collect call. You have to do it through the phone company, and she tried to do it. My other two girlfriends that lived together, I called them, and it just so happened the 2 times that I called, no one was home to even accept my call. So it was lonely. I talked to my father while he was in there, you know, and I got to talk to my kids on the phone. But each phone call for 15 minutes, you're only allowed to talk 15 minutes at a time. It's on a pay phone that's in there. You can only use the jail calling cards. You spend $10. And you talk. I think it's a $10 card. You can talk for 9 minutes. That's how crazy the price is. But each call, when I called my father, it was $14 for 15 minutes to talk.
What about TV? Do they have TV in jail?
Yeah, we do. We have a TV. This is something that's really cool. I can't even believe I'm saying something's cool about jail. But I think this is a really neat thing that they have going on at this jail. We do have a TV that's in there. We're allowed to watch TV from 5 in the morning till 11 p.m., and then they shut it off. I mean, they have a manual switch, which they didn't realize that some of us girls were a little sneaky. You let it sit for 15 minutes. You creep up to the TV. You push it back on, and then I'd stand there with my ear to it because I was watching The Sopranos. You know, probably not the best thing to watch in jail. But, that happens. You have that. The cool thing that they do at this jail to inspire good behavior with inmates is every week they do 2 inspections. You have to have your bed made a certain way. You can't have any contraband, which is like leftover food. I learned something else. People save their fruit and they make something called pruno. I didn't know what the heck the guards are talking about. I was like, what? You think we're making something? He goes, yeah, people do it in prison. They save their fruit and they make booze. And I thought they were kidding, but they're not. So they come in, you have to have everything cleaned, wiped down, spotless, windowsills, vents, all this. And if you get the highest rating on Saturday nights, they have first, second, and third place. First place, if you have money on your books, which means like if I came in with $20, that would be on my books, or if my father came down and put money to order commissary, whatever, you can order pizza. They have a deal with a local pizza place. So the pizza... we won the first night that I got in there. I was in jail. I happened to have $11 on me, so I went in. We won. We had 2 inspections that were perfect. We got first place. The jail provides you with like a Rubbermaid tub full of popcorn and, you know, some of their flat diet pop, but that's a treat. And then if people have money in the cell, you can order up to as many pizzas as you want. So we got that. The other neat thing is you're allowed to pick 3 movies, and it's a new release, or an older movie if you want. When I was in there, our choice was the proposal. So I actually went in and to jail, got pizza, ate popcorn, and saw a new release.
It's about Alaska, too, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if they do this in Alaska. I don't know. But
No. The proposal, the movie, isn't that about Alaska?
Yes. It's the one with Sandra Bullock, and she's Canadian, and she's going to get, you know. And it was funny because I was speaking with my girlfriend Jamal right before this happened, and she's like, Shauna, you got to see this movie. You're going to love it, you know. And it was nice because it did make the women laugh in the tank. And, you know, just because people are locked up doesn't mean they're animals, you know. I'm not a bad person. You know, I've got some tendencies that can go a little cuckoo. But, you know, everybody's got a little craziness to them. But I'm not a bad person. I'm not. Just drugs really do change a lot of people. People just don't get how awful these people are out here. And when you take away the drugs, they're really decent people. They got souls, you know, and stuff like that. So the other two tanks, the second place person will get popcorn and soda. They get to pick a movie. And then the third tank, they get to pick a movie and they get popcorn. Well, what's really neat is that all the inmates, there's a TV in each tank. Everybody, even if you don't win, you still get to watch these movies. And they allow the TV to stay on. Like, if the movie started at 8, one night they were over at 2:30. My tank won the pizza thing twice. It's not really funny, but I was thinking, wow, you know, I've got such bad luck. The night that I had to go into the hole, I actually had money on my books. And that tank that I transferred into, they won. So even though I was behind my door, it was kind of like Hannibal Lecter, you know, enclosed in this one tank. It's the I tank. It's for the women that have issues and, you know, beat each other up. And there was a woman that's a murderer that was in there. She was alleged murderer. She's on.
And that's what I was going to ask.
She's waiting for trial.
I was going to ask what the other people in your, I guess, tank were charged with.
Okay, and this is what's, you know, like I'm saying, that just because you go to jail doesn't make you a bad person. I was in there with a woman that was 54, 55. She got DWI. She worked at Boeing, great woman. She lives over in Snohomish area. She's the woman that has, you know, she can't help her bowel movements and stuff. She's in there. The other woman, the large woman she was a very nice woman, but she had an issue about not washing her hands. You know, we had a big thing with her, and I had to, yeah, I yelled at her one day and said, get your blah, blah, blah in there and scrub, you stink, you know, and it's terrible. But when you're living in closed quarters with people, really, please take a shower. So if anyone ever goes to jail and you're sharing, shower daily. The water's free, really. She was in there because she kept driving on a suspended license. I mean, this isn't some major criminal. She just couldn't afford to get her license back. She needed to drive to get to work, you know. But she still was breaking the law. So she was in there. Then a delightful young woman, she went to Jean Marais Salon. She does hair. She makes $60 an hour. She's young. She lives in the city. Got three DWIs. Her story was actually, it's not funny, but you have to find laughter in every situation or you'll go crazy. And her thing was, you know, her family's rich. I mean, they've got money, and she's cruising along, bebopping in her truck. She likes to pour vodka into her 7-Eleven Slurpees. This is her 3 DWI. She smashed into a pole somewhere out in Snohomish, and the pole happened to come down and smash on top of the sheriff's station. She's thinking, having her little blonde moment, oops, I'm going to get out of here. So she takes off, and she pulls into this parking lot. But she's so intoxicated, she doesn't realize that it's the sheriff station's parking lot. So she's like, oh, my gosh. So she gets arrested, and she's like, okay, let me finish my cigarette. Take me in. It's my third. You know, she didn't even deny it or resist arrest. And she was in there. She actually, the guards gave her a pair of scissors, and she gave all of us women haircuts. And it's fabulous because this is a woman that can do, you know, freaky designs. I got a great haircut when I was in jail. Another woman was in there for forgeries. She spent all of her money on drugs, her and her husband. He wouldn't get a job. So she found checkbooks, and she went out and she wrote checks in other people's name and bought food. And one of the places that she did it had a camera and caught her. And it's really sad, you know. Her husband actually was encouraging her to do it, but because her husband had been to prison years and years ago, she didn't want him to go back. And so she took the rap. She's in a bad marriage. She's afraid to leave him. You know, it's a very codependent relationship. She's a great woman. She wants to be a nurse, you know, and now she's looking at about a year in jail, at least. The other woman that was in there, she, drug possession, She got addicted to heroin. Another lovely young woman. You know, I've actually got phone numbers and addresses. I mean, these, when you spend time with these people, you just, I saw goodness in all of them, you know, except for the one that I snatched. She's got goodness in her too, but she was so bent on getting out and getting that fix that it was, you know, I just couldn't reach her. You know, I didn't really want to try anymore. The other young woman, she's 29, she's addicted to heroin. She has abscesses all over her body. And from using heroin and methadone and shooting up and doing all this stuff, she has a twitch now. Hmm. And I asked her, I was like, honey, did you have that before you were using drugs? I mean, is it a form of Tourette's, you know? And she's like, what's that? So then when I told her, when she blinked, she'd cuss me out. And I was like, oh, that's funny. But she has a twitch now from using drugs for so long. And she blinks her eyes, and she's just sweet. And I pray to God she stays off the drugs. She was in there for possession, for dealing. There's a couple women that came and gone. One young Native American girl. We have lots of reservations out here. It's called the Colville Tribe. They're very heavily into drugs. I mean, they shoot each other on the reservations. We have Indian, Native American gangs out here that fight the Latino gangs. It's crazy. Her brother was actually murdered, and the tribe posted bail so they could come and get her so she could do the ceremonies, you know, to say goodbye to her brother. You know, it's Native American rituals and stuff that they do.
Sure.
And they were actually going to place her back in jail. So I've met quite a bunch of characters, but there was 1, 2, 3, 4 that was with me the entire month that I was there. And then there was the woman that I had the confrontation with. She was there. Her and then the sweet girl, the blonde, they were in there the last 2 weeks. So, well, you know, I was in there with a woman that her cousin was murdered, and she was in there. And she was actually, she suffered police brutality by the same officer that I did, and we got to talking in there. And so she's another woman that I'm going to reach on the out here to stand up with me. I'm going to take this to city council. I'm pressing forward against this officer, and I'm kind of scared about it because I'm alone. I'm out here.
Well,
but it's not right.
Good to talk with you, Shauna, and to hear what you've been through. Thanks for coming on the air this morning. Anything else you want to add?
Well, thanks for having me, Kels. You take care and tell everybody in Sandpoint, hello.
All right, we'll do that. Okay, have a good day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, that is Meet the People for December the 8th, 2009. I'm Kels Hetherington. That was Shauna Anderson joining us on the phone to talk about recent events in her own life. She joined us on the phone from Washington State. We'll now go back to some music for a couple minutes, then to NPR News at the top of the hour, then at 1 o'clock. Stick around for the financial report update that we have starting at 1 o'clock. I'm Kels Hetherington, and that is Meet the People.